Hey, Klaus Fuchs. Everyone encountered them in life. A crossroad is a place of decision that would affect the course of one's life. Jacob faced the crossroad when he wrestled with the angel at Peniel in Genesis 32 verse 24. Jesus Christ faced the crossroad when he struggled with his own soul in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, 36 to 42, tells the whole story. Crossroads, north, south, east, or west. Which course will you choose? Which path will you take? God's will or your own way? God's way or your own way? His will upon your life or your own will? The choice is up to you. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, King Solomon wrote, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. When you face a crossroad in life, you need to wait on God until you can move with confidence that God is directing your path. The Bible says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 verse 12. Just because a certain path or course of action seems right, there is no guarantee it is right. And just because another path may seem unpleasant or contrary to what we would think is best, does not mean it's wrong. Therefore, we must trust in the Lord and not lean to our own understanding or insight. We must rest assured that God knows the end from the beginning, and he will lead us in the way that is best for us. None of us can afford to rely upon our own understanding because of our finite nature. We are limited. Even what we see and what we think we know can be very different from what is actually true. Only an all-wise, all-knowing, and all-loving can be trusted to provide the very best for us in every area of our lives. Each of us must ask ourselves one important question when we face a crossroad in life. Will the path we choose be a path that will fulfill God's plan for our lives? Or will it be a path that follows our own reasoning for what we want out of life? Think on it. When you choose to obey the will of God for your life, you put yourself in a position to hear and to receive God's guidance for the course and direction of life. Obedience to God will keep you calm in the midst of chaos and will bring you to the victory in the face of defeat. But true obedience must be more than just a one-time action. Obedience must be a lifestyle. In true obedience, the element of humility is always present. I don't mean the false humility people put on in order to influence what others might think of them. I mean humility that is from the heart. Genuine humility is the result of true obedience, and humility keeps your heart tender, pliable before God, so that you are always willing to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Crossroad, places of decision. If you walk in obedience before God day by day, moment by moment, you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading. an instruction for you. Obedience increases the anointing of the Holy Spirit and expands the measure of God's grace upon your life. Disobedience decreases the anointing and limits the measure of grace you're preaching. If you make the decision to obey God, no matter what you may see, think, or feel, when you stand at a crossroad in life, you'll be able to hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it." Isaiah 30, verse 21. So, crossroads, north or south, east or west, which course will you choose? Which path will you take? God's will or your own way? The decision is up to you. See you in the next one. Bye-bye. Hey, too good to not believe. That's all I'll be talking about in this crossroad. In Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? In Psalms 23 verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In Habakkuk 3:17-18, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no head in the store. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And in Romans 8 verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Let's pray. Lord, I choose to praise you at all times, no matter how things may look like around me. I know you are too faithful to fail. And even right now, you're bringing a positive, dramatic turnaround to my story. In Jesus' name. Don't forget, your attitude always determines your attitude in life. Bye for now. We all need Jesus. We all do. Especially in a crossroad. We all do. Especially when you are in a decision phase. We all need Jesus. Especially when you're going in a moment of crisis. We all need Jesus. Especially when things are okay. We all need Jesus. In every area of our life, we all need Jesus. In John 6, verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Not a day goes by that we are not in need of God's grace and peace. Every morning, we need His Spirit to fill us again, to strengthen us for what's ahead. Every day, we need a fresh word that He speaks to our hearts, that keeps our focus on what's most important. Trying to run the streets of life without Him will do nothing but drain us dry. The people of Israel spent 40 years in the desert, wandering in circles. Times were insane. Times were intense, hot, dry. I'm sure they got weary, but God met them where they were. He made sure they had what they needed. They learned through every hard and crawling step how much they had to rely on Him. They were hungry, and God sent manna. Every day a miracle was there, right before their eyes. They just had to pick it up. In Exodus 16, 14 to 19, it's a long read. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frogs on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until the morning." And just like the people of Israel had to gather it fresh every morning in the wilderness, so it is with us. They couldn't store it up. They had to look for it daily. And God always provided. Each morning it was there waiting for them. Every day He made sure it met their needs. They were satisfied. They were nourished. They were cared for. They never lacked. For God's resources never run dry. That's what He does for us every morning. Sometimes we miss it out of busyness or stress. We try to get things going too fast, spinning wildly, trying to get it all done. Sometimes we might start to forget what matters most. But even for those times, His grace is there. He waits for us. He's patient, and His peace, it never runs dry. Each day, His miracles are all around, right before our eyes. We just have to choose to look for them, to pick up His provision, and stick close to His presence. God got our past covered, our future secured, and it's more than enough for this day. Then Jesus declared in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is our bread of life. He promises that as we come to Him and pick us and pick up with words, spend time with Him and allow His truth to nourish our spirit and lives, we will be satisfied. Let's pray. God, I don't know how you do it, how you do this personal attention to the details of our lives. It's mind-boggling. But your watch care is evidenced by the many divine appointments, provisions, and protections that bear no other explanations than they are blessings from your hands. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, with what we have learned today, we all need Jesus. But why do we need Jesus in our lives? Why is he important? It's important to know that you don't mix it. You don't mix it. You don't mix righteousness. You don't mix sin together. I would rather be bitter to righteousness than sweet to sin. It's time to get your hearts together and stop playing. In Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In this simple verse, we see a rule or standard composed of two alternatives. There is no middle ground. There are two causes, each with its own effect. Stay blessed. Bye-bye.